So a little boy and his father, he's 6 years old, and his dad are walking through the cemetery. And the little boy's trying to understand it, and the dad, being very compassionate, explains to him. The boy said, well, what are the dates on the stones? And the father said, well, the first date is the date that the person was born, and the second date is the date that the person died. And the boy looked at some of the stones, and there were two on there, and one of them had a birth date but no death date. And he said, well, Dad, this one only has one date. And the dad said, well, that's because the person hasn't died yet. And the boy said, there are people buried here who have not died yet? The choir asked for a joke that wasn't in any of the other services so they could pay attention better. They've been here four. This is the fourth service. And I didn't have time for that one in the other services, so I thought I'd throw it in now for you guys. Yeah, thanks. Well, I'm so grateful to our choir, singing four services, an amazing hospitality team with so many volunteers, hundreds of volunteers on Easter. That have helped out, our great media team, our great worship team, so many people who have done so much on Easter, and we're just really, really grateful. Join me in prayer. Gracious God, open us up today. Open our eyes that we might see, and our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might feel. And then, oh Lord, open our hands that we might serve. Amen. Before I die, I want to go to Africa. I want to see the animals up close on one of those fancy safaris where they make you a really nice meal every night and all of that stuff. I want to do that someday. And I'm particularly enamored by elephants, who are incredibly smart. I never really realized that. I saw some video where a guy dropped his phone. He was at the zoo and dropped his phone in the ditch between the elephants and the fence where the watchers were. And the elephant came up and picked it up with his trunk and handed it back to the guy. I was pretty impressed. And you watch them with their babies, and it's just amazing. I want to do that before I die. I want to feel the zeal of the African church. I've never, just to step in, people who've walked miles to come to worship and will worship for hours, and just to feel the spirit in that place that just is so full of the zeal of the Lord. I want to experience that before I die. It's on my bucket list. I don't know if you have a bucket list. Most of us do. What do I want to do before I die? That we think that's going to make life full. I had on my bucket list being skydiving. I wanted to go skydiving. And so, I don't know, 10 years or so ago, my wife said enthusiastically that she would buy me a skydiving deal. Yeah, let's do that. Good idea, Tom. A friend of mine and I, they strapped us to another guy, and we jumped out of a plane. And what you realize then is you have more skin than you ever thought you did. You know, they have a video of you going down, and your skin's like flapping around and like that. You're like, wow, it was fun. But you know, it didn't give me abundant life. It's like, you know, we've got this idea, and I've been guilty of preaching it to this congregation. I know I have. That, you know, God has us being bold and taking a step toward our dreams. And, you know, it's sort of first world problems, right? Let's go for it. You have this fear of missing out, and you will only regret things you didn't try. You'll never regret things you did. So don't miss out. Live to the fullest. But that's not the biblical message about where the fullness of life comes from. Making sure you get everything done before you die. Jim Carrey was presenting the award for Best Motion Picture at the Golden Globes in 2016. Here was his speech. I am two-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. You know, when I go to sleep at night, I'm not just a guy going to sleep. I am 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey getting some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't dream just any old dream. I dream about being 3-time Golden Globe winning actor Jim Carrey. And then he goes on. Because that then I would be enough. It would finally be true, and I could stop this terrible search for what I know ultimately won't fulfill me. We think abundant life is achieving and acquiring, of you know, reaching our potential, and that's abundant life. That's not the biblical model. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I came that you may have life, or that they may have life and have it abundantly. Fullness of life. I love the way Eugene Peterson translates it. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. More better. I love that phrase, more better. I know it's bad grammar and all of that, but I love the phrase. It's not just better, it's more better, right? There's a place in Los Angeles that makes hamburgers called Umami Burgers. And they're not just better burgers, they're more better burgers. They are all so good. We have a choir that is not just better than any other choir, they're more better than any other choir. Right? This is that, beyond just better. The life that we're being offered is a more better life. Look, if you go home with nothing else today, I hope you go home with this. Eternal life, the scriptural message of eternal life, does not begin when you die. It begins now. We experience eternal life, life in that which is eternal, right now. Look, Colossians 3, Paul is writing to the Colossians, and here's what he says. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. He didn't say, if you will be raised with Christ, or someday you'll be raised with Christ when you die. No, if you have been raised with Christ. If you have experienced Christ being raised in your heart, in your life, then you seek the things that are above. And then he goes on later and says, put to death whatever is earthly. The image of death and resurrection is about our life right now, that we put to death things that are behind us, we put to death the things that hold us down, that are of darkness, and they're gone, and Christ comes alive in our hearts, and we live differently. We live a resurrection life, a life full of hope and joy and all of the fruit of the Spirit. In the early church, if you ever get the chance to go to like the ruins of a Byzantine church, you will see that the baptismal font is sort of in the center of the congregation. Usually the churches are in a cross, and it's in the center where the two pieces cross. And the baptisms were done on Easter Sunday morning. That's the only time they did baptisms. And they would prepare candidates, they called them candidates, for baptism, and on Easter Sunday, they would take off their outer robe as they stepped into one side of the baptismal font and go down under the water into the tomb, was the image, and then come out out of the water and step out the other side, and they would wrap them quickly in a white robe. And the picture was, I'm going to put on that long white robe, as the spiritual says. That doesn't happen in heaven. That's the new self that we put on when we claim the resurrection life in our lives. When we live because Christ lives in us and we put behind us those other ways. That's really what Easter's about. I confessed to some friends at dinner the other night that I am afraid I'm becoming a grumpy old man. I don't know. It happens. I don't like it, but it happens. You know those guys that are, and by the way, I see some women elbowing their husbands, and there are grumpy old women too, and grumpy young women. There are grumpy young women too, so pay attention. And you remember those guys that sat up in the balcony at Sesame Street? And find myself walking around the house. And my wife says, "What?" And I said, "Nothing." I don't want to be that. That's not life in Christ. So this Easter, I put that behind me. I put that to death within me. I crucify that which is earthly within me, and I take hold of the new life that's offered, a life of joy and hope in Christ Jesus, that I don't want to carry that resentment and bubbling anger around anymore. I'm going to live the life of joy that is offered to me in Christ. I have been reading a book called Sutherland Springs, which is about the shooting that happened in November of 2017. Joe Hawley, an author, actually a Houston Chronicle reporter, went down to Sutherland Springs and decided he was going to stay with them for a year and worship with the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, where there was this mass shooting. And he was very frank. He's a gun control advocate, and he really wanted to see whether it would change the perspective on guns of the people in Sutherland Springs. And he said it did not. The shooting did not in any way. But he said, what led him to write the book finally was that he was amazed by how forgiving the people were. That he said it could only be something divine at work. Sarah Holcomb was, along with her toddler child, late to church on November 5th, 2017. In fact, if you read it, she was not necessarily a believer. She was really struggling with her faith. But she was going to go to church because her family was going anyway. So she was late. And when she drove up, they told her, get away, there's a shooting. And she drove off. But her parents, her brother Danny, her sister-in-law Crystal, and four youngsters, Emily, Megan, Noah, Grace, and Greg, were all killed. Three generations of her family. As you can imagine, it was devastating. But he outlines how over time she experiences God's grace. And she said, "I don't want to carry this hatred around anymore. So Christ lives in me. Christ can forgive, so I can forgive." Right? That's a decision to say, how can I get through this? Well, we have a Christ who brings life out of death. And it did so for her. Look, I wish I could tell you that if you're going through, you're in a moment of terrible grief, that or there's just these difficulties you're dealing with, struggles at work or at home, in your marriage, in your family, in relationship, in finances, I don't know, whatever else. That on Easter Sunday, you take a step, you snap your fingers, you say the right words in your prayer, and everything's swell, and you skip out into the sun. It doesn't work that way. But what does happen is that there is this despair that grabs hold of one's heart, and in the midst of that despair, just this tiny glimmer of hope is there. And you can choose to believe that it's not always going to be like this. That, as a friend of mine, a pastor friend, says, the worst thing is not the last thing. That it's not always going to be like this. And I can choose to claim at least the hope that a resurrected Christ puts within my heart. Let me be clear. We can live this more better life right now, but there's a day all of us are going to die. That's going to happen. And the message of Scripture is that as awesome as the abundant, more better life that we live now, the eternal life we live now, what's ahead on the other side is more better still. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what the human heart cannot conceive, cannot understand, is what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's what's ahead. We can't even imagine it. We can't even imagine. Last Friday, Dee and I, my wife and I, went to a little town outside of Fort Worth, Azle. We drove up for the day, came back at that evening. We were there for a funeral of a friend, Mary Lynn Berryman. Mary Lynn and Boyd, her husband, when we were first married, I was a student in seminary at Perkins in Dallas, and I was serving as the youth pastor at First Methodist Church of Duncanville. We didn't have any kids, and Boyd and Mary Lynn had a high school daughter, Jill, a middle school daughter, Donna, and an elementary age daughter, Robin. And they were youth counselors, so I got to know them there, and their house was just fun. Their house was where everybody was, and we would go over to their house, and we would hang out with them, and the kids from the neighborhood and the youth group would come and go, and we just got to be so close with the Berrymans. And then when our first daughter was born, Katie, Boyd and Mary Lynn were their godparents, was her godparents. And when Katie was born and we were in the hospital, the Berrymans came to the hospital and they wouldn't let them in. And they said, well, we're family. And so they let them on in. We were thinking, we don't have any family coming. And they, oh, these family. Yes, these family. Well, for the last year, Mary Lynn has been miserable, making difficult decisions about her health and trying to fight it. And ultimately, she just said, enough, enough. And I am so glad she's been made well. I am so glad she is basking in God's love right now. I can believe that with all my heart, and I know her family can too. Lori Williamson is a member of our congregation, and she's given me permission to share this story. I had a conversation with her just this last week. Lori is in hospice care. She has stage 4 renal cancer, and she was getting treatment, and the tumors were shrinking, but it became the case that she was too weak to continue the treatment, so they had to stop them, and they ultimately moved her to hospice care. But she said, well, I'm in hospice care now, and she explained the reason. She said, but I'm not giving up. The insurance won't pay for a physical therapist when you're in hospice care, so I've hired a personal trainer. And I'm going to get stronger, and I'm going to get strong enough to go back to my treatments, and I'm going to have the treatments, and they're going to shrink those tumors, and I'm going to get well. And then she said, but Pastor Tom, either way, I'm on the road to miraculous. I'm on the road to miraculous. Either I get well this way or I get well the other way. And either way is a miracle. Ah, what a spirit. That's abundant life. That's life in the resurrected Christ. That's what God offers us, that more better life. The first sentence of the scripture today says, after the Sabbath, on the first week of the day, the dawn came. This is the first week, first day of the week. The first day of the week has dawned, and we're offered this new resurrected life. Let this day be a day of new beginnings for us, when we take hold of that more better life that God offers us in Jesus Christ. Gracious God, thank you so much for this resurrection life that you offer us. Thank you for raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that you would help us to see the joy and hope of that resurrection life that's offered to us, that we might take hold of that eternal life right now, so that one day we might experience that more better life with you face to face. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.